All right, so you've handed us this really interesting pile of materials on this open science and reproducible research.
Yeah.
It's clearly a topic that you're interested in, and I have to say, it's right up my alley too.
Absolutely.
Really digging into the future of scientific knowledge here. We're talking course descriptions, we've got program overviews, even a self-study guide in here,
Yeah.
and it looks like you've been looking into how organizations like UNESCO and Sweden are really kind of putting their money where their mouth is, really embracing these ideas.
Definitely, yeah.
So are you ready to take a deep dive with me into all of this?
Absolutely, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
And I think what's really exciting right now is just like the energy around open science. You
Yeah.
know, it's not just a buzzword anymore. You're really starting to see it woven into the fabric of how research is done.
It's true, and it's not just talk. It's
Right?
like we're seeing the big players, like funding organizations, governments, institutions, like
Yeah.
even UNESCO has like a whole recommendation dedicated to open science.
They do.
So it's like, what's behind this big push? What's going on here?
Well, I think traditional science, with its closed doors and paywalled knowledge, just isn't really cutting it anymore.
Yeah.
Open science is really about kind of tearing down those barriers and making research accessible to everyone, making it inclusive
Yeah.
and ultimately way more useful to society.
So knowledge for everyone,
Yeah.
that's the goal.
Yeah.
Okay, but how do we actually get there? I'm seeing a lot in here about open access publishing and research data management,
Right.
RDM, we're calling it.
Yeah.
So like, what are these and why should you care?
Yeah, so open access publishing is exactly what it sounds like, making research publications free for anyone to read online.
Okay.
So no more expensive journal subscriptions, which is a game changer,
Huge.
especially for, you know, researchers in countries where those costs might be prohibitive.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Now, what about RDM? This one's a little less flashy,
Yeah.
maybe, but I have a feeling it's just as important.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Imagine, you know, trying to follow a recipe that's missing key ingredients or instructions. It's just chaos.
Total chaos.
That's what bad RDM is like for science.
Okay.
Good RDM ensures that research data is well organized, it's stored securely, and it's shared in a way that makes it transparent and reproducible.
So it's like the backbone of reliable science.
Exactly. Yeah.
Here's where I think it gets really interesting, though, for like, for you listening.
Yeah.
These open science practices are quickly becoming like
Essential.
non-negotiable.
Yeah.
You want to secure a grant.
Right.
You want to get published in a good journal. You better be on board with this open science thing.
Exactly, because funders, they want to see that their investment is actually making a real-world impact.
Right.
And journals, they want to be sure that the research they publish is solid and credible.
Makes sense.
Open science practices are key to making that happen.
So we're talking about a real like sea change, in how science is done.
Yeah.
But it's not just theory, right? I'm seeing a lot in these materials about like universities and organizations actually putting open science into practice.
Absolutely. There's like a wave of initiatives right now,
Yeah.
really aimed at equipping researchers with the skills and knowledge
Right.
to actually like thrive in this new landscape, you know?
Totally. Because it's one thing to talk about it, but
Right.
it's a whole other thing to actually
Yeah,
do it, right?
exactly.
So where do we even begin? Where are we going on this global open science tour?
Well, let's start in Europe.
Yeah.
A lot of countries there are really leading the charge.
Yeah.
Delft University in the Netherlands, for example,
Okay.
they offer a course called Open Science, Sharing Your Research with the World.
I love that. Okay, so what's their approach?
So they're all about giving researchers the practical tools
Okay.
that they need to actually implement open science principles.
Got it.
Like the course tackles really relatable questions like,
Yeah, like way.
how can I make my research more visible? How can I make it more impactful?
Right.
What are the best ways to publish open access?
Makes
How
sense.
can I involve citizen scientists in my work?
Wait, hold on. Involving citizen scientists.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds fascinating.
It's a big
Is that
one.
something that comes up a lot in these material?
Yeah, citizen science is like a.
Wow. Okay, I definitely want to circle back to that
Yeah.
a little bit later on.
For sure.
But first, I want to continue our little global tour here.
Okay, where to next?
Where are we going?
Let's hop over to Sweden.
Okay.
They're making incredible strides in open science.
Okay.
They're not just dipping their toes in the water.
Right.
They're aiming for a fully open science system nationwide by 2026.
Wow. They're not messing around.
Nope.
So what are they doing? How are they trying to make that happen?
Well, For one, they're investing a lot in education and training.
Makes sense.
Karolinska Institute, for example, offers a really comprehensive course on open science and reproducible research.
Okay, reproducible research, that's another term that we see popping up a lot.
Right.
Remind us again what that means.
Yeah, essentially it means making sure that research findings can be independently verified and replicated.
Right.
Which is really crucial for building, you know, trust in science.
Right, of course.
And ensuring that research is really robust and reliable.
Okay, so how does this course, how does it actually promote that?
It takes kind of a multifaceted approach.
Okay.
So in addition to lectures, they have these literature seminars
where
students can really delve into real world examples of open science in action.
Oh, cool.
So for instance, they might discuss how researchers are using open data to study the impact of ergonomics on musculoskeletal disorders in surgery, for example.
Interesting. So they're connecting those open science principles to like tangible problems and solutions.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So it's not just theoretical.
Right. Exactly.
It's very applied.
Yeah. Are there any other like common threads that we're seeing in how these different courses and programs are structured?
Definitely. A lot of them emphasize a really hands-on, practical approach.
Got it.
So take TU Wien in Austria, for example.
Okay.
Their Introduction to Research Data Management course.
Okay.
Really focuses on equipping researchers with the skills to apply the FAIR principles.
Yes. The FAIR principles.
Right.
You mentioned those earlier. I feel like we could use a little refresher, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are they again?
So FAIR stands for findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable.
Okay.
And these principles are really kind of the nuts and bolts of making open science work in practice. Because if data isn't findable and accessible, it might as well not exist.
That's very true.
And if it's not interoperable and reusable, then you're really limiting the potential for new discoveries and innovation.
It's like building a house on a shaky foundation.
Exactly.
You know, if you don't have, if your data isn't fair, it kind of undermines the whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So TU Wien is teaching researchers how to put those principles into action.
Mm-hmm.
What else are we seeing out there?
Well, the University of Vienna is taking a little bit of a different approach, but equally important.
Yeah.
They offer a data steward certificate program.
Right.
And this program actually trains professionals to support open science within their institutions.
Oh, that's interesting. So it was like developing a whole workforce.
Yeah.
Dedicated to promoting and facilitating open science.
Exactly. And it really highlights this growing recognition that open science requires a real collaborative effort, you know?
Totally.
It's not just about individual researchers changing their practices. Yeah. It's about building a supportive ecosystem.
100%. And what about resources for people who like to learn at their own pace?
Yeah.
Is there anything in here for the independent learners out there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
CSC, which is a Finnish organization, offers a fantastic self-study course.
Okay, cool.
On research data management.
Okay.
It covers everything from planning your research data to sharing it.
Okay.
And reusing existing data responsibly.
That sounds like a really great resource for, like, you know,
someone
maybe who's just starting out on their open science journey.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Any other stops on our global tour here?
One last stop.
Okay.
Politecnico di Torino in Italy.
Okay.
Caught my eye.
Yeah.
Their course on research data management and open science really tackles like a really critical but often overlooked aspect of open science,
which is
navigating the legal and ethical considerations.
Right. Okay. That's huge.
Yeah.
Because we've been talking a lot about like open access to data, open access to publications.
Right.
But obviously, there are a lot of nuances when it comes to things like privacy, intellectual property, commercially sensitive data, all of that.
100%. And this course really dives into all of that, like all the complexities of GDPR, intellectual property rights, and how to handle sensitive data responsibly within an open science framework.
That's great.
It's essential for researchers working in our increasingly data-driven world, you know?
Totally. This global tour has been amazing. It's so cool to see how, like, all these institutions around the world are
they're stepping up,
really embracing this open science and reproducible research.
Absolutely.
But let's, I kind of want to get back to like the heart of it all for a minute.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit more about UNESCO's definition of open science.
Sure.
And like those five pillars that you mentioned,
yeah.
I think our listener would really benefit from a deeper dive into what those actually look like.
For sure.
So we've seen open science in action, like all over the globe.
We have.
But I kind of want to zoom back in on the bigger picture here for a second.
Yeah.
You mentioned like UNESCO is really kind of taking the lead on this whole thing.
They are.
So like, what's their take on open science and why does it matter?
Well, I think UNESCO's definition is really powerful.
Okay.
Because it goes beyond just open access to publications.
Okay.
They really see open science as this movement towards making scientific knowledge, you know,
yes,
openly available and accessible and reusable for everyone.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's about inclusivity, right?
Yeah.
Breaking down those barriers that prevent people from actually, you know,
yeah,
accessing and benefiting from scientific progress.
So it's not just about like researchers sharing with each other. It's about making this knowledge actually work for like society as a whole.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they've laid out these like five key pillars of open science to kind of guide that.
What are?
So we've got open scientific knowledge, open infrastructures, open communication,
okay,
engagement with society, and dialogue with other knowledge systems.
Okay, so that's a lot.
It's a lot.
We've obviously touched on open knowledge and open communication.
Yeah.
What about these other pillars? Like, what do those look like in action?
Well, take open infrastructures, for example.
Yeah.
This is about making the tools and resources for research things like data repositories, software platforms, even those online collaboration spaces,
right,
accessible to all.
Okay.
Think of it like building a public library for science where anyone can come in and access the resources they need.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of another one of those pillars, this whole engaging with society thing.
Yes.
Does that tie into citizen science, which we were geeking out about a little bit earlier?
100%. Yeah. Citizen science really embodies that pillar perfectly, right?
Okay.
It's about recognizing that valuable knowledge and perspectives exist beyond, you know,
yeah,
the traditional walls of academia.
Sure.
By involving the public in research,
yeah,
we gain, you know, valuable data and insights, but we also foster a more scientifically literate and engaged society.
Right. So it's like a two-way street.
Exactly.
Science benefits from the public's involvement.
Yeah.
And the public is gaining a deeper understanding of the scientific process and hopefully like an appreciation for it too.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now that leaves one last pillar, right?
Yeah.
Open dialogue with other knowledge systems.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So this pillar recognizes that science isn't the only way of knowing and understanding the world.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a wealth of knowledge held within indigenous communities,
right,
local communities, even different academic disciplines,
yeah,
that can really enrich and inform scientific research.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's really about being open to diverse perspectives and approaches to problem solving.
It's about recognizing that the best solutions, or at least the most impactful solutions,
yeah,
often come from, you know, bridging those different ways of knowing.
Totally.
And working together.
Collaboration is key.
Okay, this is all so fascinating, but I do want to make sure that we circle back to something that you highlighted earlier on.
Okay.
Which is the FAIR principles.
Right.
Because they seem pretty fundamental to making this whole open science thing work.
They are.
Can you like walk us through those again and
yeah,
how they connect to all of this?
Absolutely. So remember, FAIR stands for findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable.
Mm-hmm.
And these principles are really the nuts and bolts, mm-hmm, of making open science work in practice, right?
Really?
Because if data isn't findable, if it's not accessible,
right,
it might as well not exist.
Yeah, that's true.
And if it's not interoperable and reusable, then you're really limiting the potential for, you know, new discoveries and new innovations.
Okay, so for our listener who's out there thinking, okay, this is all great in theory, but like, how do I actually put this into practice?
Right, right.
What would you say?
That's the million-dollar question. And luckily, there are tons of resources out there to help.
Okay, that's good.
That CSC self-study guide that you sent over,
yeah,
is a really fantastic starting point.
Okay.
It breaks down like the practical steps,
yeah,
of managing your research data from planning and documentation to sharing and preservation.
Okay.
All through the lens of open science and the FAIR principles.
And the great thing is it's self-paced.
Best
right?
Step.
So you can kind of like
go at your own speed.
Yeah, exactly. And dive into the things that are most relevant to you.
100%.
I'm also thinking about some of the other courses that we talked about.
Yeah.
Like the one at the Politecnico di Torino.
Right.
Which focused on like navigating the legal and ethical aspects of open science, which,
Yeah.
you can't overlook that stuff.
Absolutely not, especially as open science becomes the norm.
Right.
It's so crucial that researchers are equipped to handle these complexities
Looks like.
because we have to be mindful of privacy concerns,
Right.
intellectual property rights, potential biases.
Yeah.
Open science doesn't mean just like throwing caution to the wind.
Right.
It means being transparent and responsible
Yeah.
in how we collect and analyze and share data
Total.
and our research outputs.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive,
Yeah.
what's like the key takeaway? What do you want our listener to like walk away from this thinking about?
I think the biggest takeaway is that open science is so much more than just a trend, right?
Yeah.
It's a fundamental shift in how research is done
Okay.
and how it's shared, and it has the potential to really accelerate discovery, foster collaboration, and make scientific knowledge more equitable and impactful for everyone.
I love that. That's beautifully put.
Thank you.
And for you, dear listener, we hope this deep dive has, sparked your curiosity
Yeah.
and given you a solid foundation to kind of go out there and explore this exciting world of open science and reproducible research.
Absolutely. It's an exciting time to be in research, that's for sure.
It really is. And, as they say, knowledge is power, but it's only powerful if we share it right. So thanks for joining us.